You know what that means? That's your 8 a.m. rooster call coffee pour. We let y'all sleep in a little bit on Saturday mornings, but not much. It's Rosie on the House live at Sanderson Ford today. It's a safety day. Ford Safety Day opens now?
Yeah, opened at 7 for the free Ford safety inspections. Any Ford vehicle gets a free safety inspection, multi-point safety inspection at Sanderson Ford. But call first and get an appointment. There's limited access for drive-ins or walk-ups.
I just thought I was reading that wrong because so many times when we're on remote, we're here like an hour or two before the event starts. I'm not used to the event starting at the same time.
That goes till 2 p.m. this afternoon, and then we've got the Luke Air Force Base firefighters giving free child safety inspections, child safety seat inspections from 10 until 2.
Excellent.
That's all right here at Sanderson Ford. You'll be able to meet Al McCoy as well as Luis Gonzalez, and we'll be here broadcasting till 11.
Absolutely. So come on by. It's 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale. You can call in. It's 8 o'clock, so we are in the outdoor living hour. And we have Jay Harper joining us from our head, our flagship studio, KTAR, to take your questions at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie for you. Text in 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com. Good morning, Mr. Harper.
And good morning to you. How's it going out there? Is the breeze kicking up a little bit?
You know, we're inside.
Not yet.
I had enough wind yesterday.
Let's hope
I think I'm good for a couple months.
I think it got it out of its system yesterday. Let's hope. And it sure cooled it off, though. You almost needed a jacket this morning. Here we are, the middle of April, when everybody was worried about it getting a little warm, and we fixed that yesterday. It's absolutely gorgeous this morning. So we're in that time where, you know, we're kind of starting to, you know, wind winter down and get ready for warmer seasons. So this would be a great weekend to probably check that sprinkler system. Make sure that, you know, things are covering right, things are working correctly, sprinkler heads are popping up and not just dribbling out, they're not spraying out into the street. Maybe go through the drip system and make sure the dog hasn't chewed off all the drip heads and are shooting into the neighbor's yard, and, you know, all those sorts of things, because when it's cool, you know, plants can kind of take it. You know, it's not that critical, but you, a couple of months from now, if you don't get ahead of it, you know, you get a couple of 100-degree days and all of a sudden you've got plants that are stressed and dying and you're wondering why. So now would be a great time to do that. It's a great time to be. We're still planting you know, spring warm season vegetables like squash and cucumbers and melons and eggplant and okra. You guys were talking a lot about food and cooking this morning, so that, you know, we got to think about growing some of that good stuff so we can cook. You know, we can still do a lot of herbs like basil and, you know, mints and things like that, or, you know, thyme, sage. Those are all easy to grow herbs. And of course, planting warm season plants like bougainvilleas and hibiscus and lantana. And before long, we'll all be seeking lots of shade. So, you know, the best time to plant a shade tree was a long time ago, but boy, right now would be the second best time. So think about where you might need some shade down the road. And get a nice tree in the ground and get it ahead of the hot weather and get it established and growing.
What's your favorite shade tree? That question comes up often, and people always want to know what's a clean shade tree. Well, I don't think there's a that's called a wind sail.
Yeah, there isn't. There's no such thing as a clean shade tree. A tree that's big enough to actually cast some shade over most of your lot or over your house is going to be a big tree. Big trees have lots of leaves. Leaves fall off. Whether they fall off all at one time, as a deciduous tree does in the late fall or early winter, or they fall off periodically throughout the year, like an evergreen tree, like an oak. So if I had to pick my favorite deciduous tree, it would be a red push pistache. And if I had to pick my favorite evergreen tree, it would be a live oak. So those would be my two favorite. Now, given that you have enough room in your yard for those, so, you know, the right tree in the right place is important. If you need a smaller tree, probably my new favorite small tree is the mastic, which is a cousin to the red push. It's also a pistache, but it's very small, and it might be the cleanest tree that we have going. Of course, some of that is because it's smaller, but it is very, very clean, has very little litter. Say that fast three times. And it's a great tree, great heat-tolerant, cold-tolerant tree. So there's my top three. How's that?
I like them. And I want to ask a couple more questions on the pistache. I hear a lot about the Chinese pistache, and I had never really known exactly what that looked like or seen it in person. But we were at Tour de Trees last week on ASU campus, and they've got a little grove as you go between these two buildings that's grown up over the walkway. They've got a canopy, and I mean, that was I instantly became a fan. What's the difference in all the stash varieties?
Well, regular old Chinese pistache is a great tree, and it gets quite sizable. It's not the fastest growing tree in the world, which isn't all bad either. The nice thing about that particular pistache, the Chinese regular Chinese pistache, is that it gets great fall color. You know, it gets a really brilliant orangish red in the fall before it loses its leaves, which is unusual for us. We do not have many trees that just don't turn yellow. You know, ashes and elms don't hardly turn at all, and ashes get a bright yellow. It's not that it's bad, but the pistache gets a really brilliant red coloring. Now, the red push pistache, the cultivar of Chinese pistache that's red push, also leafs when it leafs out with new growth in the spring and summer. That push of new growth is very red also. It probably has a little darker green foliage than just regular Chinese pistache. And the new growth when it comes out is really crimson red as well. So they're both great trees. And there are some big ones around. ASU campus has, you know, some older ones. Messenger Mortuary at the corner of Indian School and Miller has a couple of big pistache. Indian School Road between the 101 and Hayden, the city of Scottsdale landscaped on both sides of that with red push pistache. And they're getting some size and age to them. So people want to see what they look like.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you to join the conversation as we talk through the outdoor living hour. So those are a couple of trees. What about edibles?
Well, you can certainly plant citrus now, you know, quite successfully, and citrus, you know, come in dwarf and regular sizes, so you can plant dwarf citrus even if you don't have much of a yard. They can do well in containers. And most dwarf citrus are probably, for most people's sized yards, are probably your best option. They get 8 to 10 feet tall and 8 to 10 feet wide, so they're kind of a large shrub, and they're perfect for most backyard applications. Of course, regular citrus, you know, get quite a bit bigger than that. Just make sure you have enough room for those. As far as vegetable gardening, you know, we're still planting squashes and melons and cucumbers and eggplant and okra. Those are all still very plantable. Malabar spinach will be coming in soon if you want something that's kind of leafy and edible. So there's still lots of things you can plant in the vegetable garden. There's literally something on the list of vegetables that you can plant 12 months a year here. The list gets pretty short as we get into May and June, but there are still things that can be planted. As far as grapevines, would be a good one you could still plant if you want to put a vine up, especially a vine that loses its leaves in the winter and lets sun in the winter and shade you in the summer. Grapes are a great edible landscape alternative here if you're looking for a vine to go over a lattice work or to shade maybe the south or west wall of a house.
On citrus, you were talking about the dwarf, and you know, a lot of people think, well, if I'm getting a dwarf, I'm getting a lot less fruit. I don't know if anyone's ever counted how many citrus come on one tree, but a mature dwarf, you're still going to get more fruit than you could probably eat. You're going to be spending a lot of time squeezing whatever that is, whether it's lemon juice or grapefruit juice or orange juice. Just because it's dwarf doesn't mean you're getting shorted on your fruit production.
Well, certainly you're getting more fruit or less fruit than a standard-sized tree because the tree is just smaller. But in most people's cases, standard-sized trees produce more fruit than you can hardly use and or give away in a lot of cases. So a lot of times it's just about the right amount of fruit, frankly. Especially if you're talking about a lemon, you know, mature lemon trees, you know, one lemon tree is probably good enough for a whole neighborhood, but, they're a more reasonable size tree. And of course the fruit, the dwarfing has no effect. A lot of people think that, well, it's going to be smaller fruit. No, it's the same fruit, just a smaller tree.
And stone fruits, the best apple varieties.
Well, we don't have a lot of apples to choose from that do well here, but there's a couple. Anna and Dorset are the kind of the old standbys, and they're decent yellow-type apples. Fuji's do okay here. Einsheimer, however you want to pronounce that, will do okay here. Pink Lady, there's a number of them that people are trying with some success. But so you can grow some apples here. You can grow the Asian pears pretty well here. Of course, peaches, there's lots of good varieties of peaches that do well here, plums, pomegranates, figs do very well here if you like figs. So there's a lot of either stone fruit or deciduous fruit trees that do extremely well here. You just have to really pay attention to what we call chill hours. So how much cold weather do we have to get in the wintertime for them to be successful at setting fruit? And you want to look at those chill hours, and you want to try and pick something that's less than 400 or 500 hours of chill to work here.